Well, good morning, Calvary Chapel. Morning. Glad you're here today. Welcome on Facebook, YouTube. However you're watching this, you are welcome here today. We're continuing our study in the book of Romans, which will probably be until the rapture. That's what we're hoping for. Yes, yes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Wasn't the worship great today? I mean, it was just terrific. It's always good. But anyway, thank you, guys. Nicely done. Nicely done. Thank you. The study today is in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. It's called to be saints. And if you're called to be a saint, you're called to be different. Different. We are to be different from this world. And we're going to see that today. I'm going to emphasize it over and over and over. We're different. And that's why the world looks at us as strange and peculiar people, because we are. We don't fit into this world system. We're waiting for another kingdom that is coming soon. So if you would, stand for reading of the Word of God, Romans chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for His name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, Father, we thank you for your Word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. It is our guidepost in life. It is what directs us. It speaks of the living God who loved us, died for us, and will return for us one day. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would open our spiritual eyes, our ears, soften our hearts, help us to put the world aside for just a few minutes and hear from you today things that you have specifically for each person here. You speak individually to people, Lord, and I ask that you do that today. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Called to be saints, called to be different. The theme of Romans, you're going to hear this hundreds of times. The just shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith. Now, every time we do this lesson, you will hear the theme of Romans. You will also hear the sections that Romans is broken down into. Sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, so long. He gives a farewell, and we'll be talking about those in depth as we go, in depth as we go. So we said the just will live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith. Who are the just? And hopefully you good Bible students know it's anyone that has placed their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are declared just and righteous in the sight of a holy God, and that is called justification. The imputed righteousness of Christ is given to us. We have the holiness and purity. Actually, God looks at us as He looks at His Son, pure and holy and clean because of the sacrifice of Jesus in our place. When a person is saved, folks, we use that vernacular in Christianity. Are you saved? Are you saved? And we have, a skewed view. We're saved from the kingdom of darkness. We're saved to heaven, but ultimately we're saved from the wrath of God. And we talked about in Romans 5:10 last week that all humanity are enemies of God until reconciled or brought back into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's a hard concept for most people to grasp, but it is the truth. The moment that you believed in Jesus, a miracle of miracles occurred. You were forcefully extracted from the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of light, and your life and your destiny was changed forever because you believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That happens instantly. We're ripped out of Satan's kingdom, placed in the Jesus kingdom. Now, when we're placed in the Jesus kingdom, we talked last week about bondservants. We become Now we are servants of the Most High God. It's called bondservants. My will consume with the will of my master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about Jesus being your master, think about this. He is the master of everything in my life. He has legal right, legal control to my being. My master loves me. We said this last time. My master cares for me. My master provides for me. My master blesses me. And you know what else? My master died for me. You talk about special. You are special in the sight of a holy living God because you are in his family. What does he call you? Sons of God, daughters of God, friends of God. We have a relationship. We are the bride of Christ. He's coming for his bride, folks. In John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, Jesus talks about, this is literally a day before Jesus goes to the cross. He has just told Peter that he's going to betray him, and all the other guys are going to run. And Jesus gives this message to the disturbed group. And by inference, it's given to us today also. We know this is directed at them, but it also includes us. He says this, and I think whenever you're going through life, for the troubles of life, hear these words. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms or dwelling places, depends on your translation. If it were not so, I would have told you so. Then he says these words to you, the bride. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Listen, folks, wherever the bridegroom is, that's where the bride is going to be. When Jesus comes back, the bride will come back with him when he extracts wrath on the earth on his second coming and deals with Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan is thrown in the pit, that sort of thing. Now, because I belong to Jesus, because he is my master, because I owe him everything, then I want to represent him in this culture. And Romans 1:16 is like the key verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of my Jesus. In this culture today, it is almost, you can mention any other God you want to mention, but you cannot mention the name of Jesus. It's an offense to so many people. Folks, we stand on the name of Jesus. He is our Lord, our Savior. He is the one that we love. He's the one that loved us and died for us. I belong to my master. Now, the question is this. Because I belong to the master, how does the world view me today? Now, most of the time, they don't like you. They don't like you. They don't like your worldview. Folks, we're called to be different, called to be saints. Saints of the Most High God are different than the culture. We do not blend with the culture. We are different. We are different. So verse 3 and 4, saints are separated, called to be different. Verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That should immediately invoke in you the word Kurios. We've mentioned it many, many times. Master, ruler, owner. I am a saint of the Most High God. I am under, hupotasso, I'm under the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my master, my ruler, and my owner. I am a saint of the Most High, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, resurrected from the dead, and his resurrection facilitated us being saints. You have to believe. You're not automatically a saint. You have to believe, put your trust in Jesus before you're a saint. But his resurrection guarantees every saint in this room, every saint in this world will also be resurrected. That's good news. That's good news. Now, God calls all believers saints. It simply means those separated to God. Separated to God. When a person is saved, again, they're instantly separated. Question is this. Do those in your world see you as belonging to God and separated to God? Is there enough evidence for you to be accused of being a Christian. Saints are to impact, not sit silent and blend with the culture. Jesus impacted the world. We are to be like the Master. We are to represent the Master. We are to be like Him. Therefore, we are to impact the world. Jesus came into this world to become one of us. In verse 3, born of the seed of David according to the flesh, the lineage of King David. Folks, this was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Messiah had to be of the lineage of David, had to be born of in the tribe of Judah, had to be virgin born, had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Jesus met all these qualifications. He is the Messiah of Israel. He came according to the flesh. He became one of us. He became one of us. He knows what it's like to be here. We do not have a God that is so distant that He doesn't know what it's like. He experienced this life called life on planet Earth in this mess of life that we have here. But remember this. He is now the God-man. We talked about the hypostatic union in the past where God is sent His Son, and now Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. He is the God-man, and it is an eternal state for Jesus now. In the past, He was a spirit being like the Father, like the Holy Spirit. Now He has a form like us, and we will be like Him in 1 John. When we see Him, we will be like Him. We'll have a new form, a new change. We'll be like Jesus. It's a permanent state. Jesus came to save us, set us apart. Set apart to what? What are we set apart to? Well, in verse 1 last week, we're separated to the gospel of God. This is what we live by. This word is important to us. The world impugns this word. How many times have you had people say, well, this is written by men. It can't be real. It's written by men. And you know that men make mistakes all the time. Folks, this is God-breathed. God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God breathed into the writers of this something miraculous. And what you have in your hands, according to manuscript evidence, over 5,000 Greek texts, Coptic texts, or Egyptian texts, Syrian texts, thousands of texts, validate 98.5% accuracy of translation of this information. The 1.5% do not affect doctrine in one iota. No other work in history has anything close to this transcribal accuracy. You go look at the works of Socrates, Plato, all those guys, none of it compares. None of it compares to the translation, the accuracy of translation that we have. You can trust this word. What in the world does living separate mean? 1 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. When someone is saved, listen to this, they are to disengage, sever themselves from all forms of world idols that had been strongholds in our past. Make a clean break with sinful habits. Clean break. Strongholds are torn down. We are under a new master. Our old master no longer has any rights to us. Though Satan will try to drag you back, you say no. And you can with authority say no. Get ye behind me, Satan. He has no rights to you, but he'll try to usurp. He'll try to suck you back into the old life. So, if someone, again, was to look at your life, I want to ask this question several times. Is there enough evidence that you'd be guilty of being a Christian? Do they see something different in you? What in your life is inhibiting you from being a real bondservant of Jesus? And I bet if you ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart, He will tell you. And I think intuitively we know, this is displeasing to you, Lord. I have to give it up. He'll help you. He'll give you the strength. That's the process, folks. It's all about, now think about this. The Holy Spirit will help you, but your conduct, how you conduct yourself in this world, is telling. It's telling if you're really a follower of Christ or not. Philippians 1:27 makes this crystal clear. How are you conducting your life? What are people seeing in you? It says this, whatever happens, that is, it isn't like you know, like when my daughter used to say, whatever, Dad. No, it is whatever happens in your life. Whatever happens in your life. You've been there, haven't you? Whatever happens in your life, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, big things, little things, in-between things, just things that come into your life. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So many people today use Christianese. Arnold Fruchtenbaum calls it God talk and Jesus speak. A lot of talking, yet live like the world. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word, in 1 John 2:15, you cannot love the world and love Jesus. They are juxtaposed to one another. They are in conflict with one another. Listen to what it says. The writer John says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, listen, the love of the Father is not in them. That's huge. We are to be different. Hopefully this world is a strain to you. What you are seeing today and the changes in our culture as we implode as a nation, it's a stress to you. Things are not getting better. Things are not getting better. Now, we're talking about, is your walk congruent with your talk? Now, there's a couple slides here, a little tongue twister. It's not the talk, but the walk that matters the most. It's not the talk, but the walk that matters the most. Jesus came with power. He came with the spirit of holiness. Our world knew there was something different about Jesus. And folks, we have the spirit of holiness. We have the Holy Spirit in us. The world should look at us as being different. And the question is this, what are people seeing in you? That's the question. Now, John Maxwell has something interesting to say. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Try saying that really fast. Yeah. Yeah. What are people seeing in you? Hopefully the spirit of holiness. Now, remember this. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a representative to him of him in the culture. They must see Jesus in you. And as I've always said, not see you in you. Okay? Let them see Jesus. You're a representative of Christ, so we are to act like it. So, because we're representatives of Christ, filled with the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, we are to know who you are in Christ, be who you are in Christ, and act like who you are in Christ. You do not act like the old man. That one is dead. You don't want to go back to that form of life. So where I go, what I do, how I speak, how I act, particularly under stress, who I hang with means a lot. Proverbs 12:26 says this, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Be careful who you're hanging with. It doesn't mean that you aren't to have non-Christian friends. It does mean that we are not to be drugged into that world, and we are to help them come out of that world into the believer's world. Now, there's a principle here. You'll become like the people you hang with. Hopefully you understand that's a truth statement. Jesus was declared, to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness in verse 4. Jesus, at his incarnation, he did everything through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, we've said this before, we talked about the kenosis and that sort of thing, and Jesus setting aside his divine rights, called the kenosis. He said he didn't cease being God. He volitionally set these rights aside and did everything through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a slide here. What is the kenosis? The term kenosis simply means self-emptying. In Philippians chapter 2, you read it. The term kenosis comes from the Greek word for the doctrine of Christ's self-emptying at his incarnation. Christ completely submitted himself to the will of the Father. Folks, that is an example for us. We submit to the will of Jesus. We submit to the will of God in our lives. The question is, do you have the Holy Spirit or don't you? That's the question. People can use God talk and Jesus speak all they want, but do you have the Holy Spirit or don't you? Romans 8:14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit," that word led means ruled or governed by the Spirit, "these are sons of God." Does the world view you as set apart to Christ? How do I know I really am a Christ follower? Ever ask yourself that question? I'm not doing so hot now. I mean, how do I know I'm really a Christ follower? Let me set you to rest. If you've believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you put your trust in Him, you belong to God. Now, it will be carried out in your conduct, and there will be a change in your life and that sort of thing. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast, but there must be some sort of change that's observable over time. But there's a test that you can take. Jesus tells us about the hearing following test in John 10:27. Watch what he says. We've been through this verse many times, but this is so profound. My sheep, notice the possessive, my sheep, you belong to me. That's what Jesus is saying. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Remember, we used the word know last week, gnosis. That means to know experientially. Jesus knows us experientially. The minute we say yes to him, we have this connection with Jesus, this experience with Jesus. And when I know them, and they follow me. Hearing and following. Hearing and following. What is all that hearing and following about? Well, to follow Jesus means to grasp onto him, if you look it up in the Zadiades Greek text, believe in, trust in, and then obey him. Obey him. Follow him. That's a moment-by-moment choice. Every day you have multiple opportunities to make this choice or not. Am I going to follow Jesus or not? Do you hear the voice of Jesus above the siren sounds, the cries of this world? Are you following Jesus? There's so many voices that are coming at you today. We have inputs today that are unlike any culture in the history of the world. We're inundated with information. The siren cry. Now look at, my sheep hear my voice. Now, I love this picture. There's a picture coming up. I don't know if it's up there yet. Okay, my sheep hear. Now, this dude's hearing. You see that? He's perked up. What's this guy doing? He doesn't hear a thing. These guys don't hear nothing. Oh, this guy might start to hear. This guy goes, oh, that's the master. That's the master. I'm coming. But you see, most sheep don't hear. God talk, Jesus speak. The ones who really know Jesus, when he speaks, and he speaks to us through his word today, folks, we hear. We hear. Yes, Jesus. Yes, shepherd. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Yes, Jesus. I'm following you. Verses 5 through 7. Saints are obedient to the faith, called to be different. That is the theme. Called to be different. Verse 5. Through him we have received, oh, grace and apostleship. Why? For obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name's sake, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And then he caps it off with this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, peace. Folks, all believers have received the grace of God. You know what that is. You from Sunday school on, the unmerited favor of God. Unearned, undeserved, God graces us. He also has given us apostleship. And we learned last time that simply means sent one. We're sent with the gospel into the world to share with the world the wonderful story of Jesus. Apostleship. And all believers are to be obedient to the faith. We go in his name. What does that mean? In his authority. Remember at the Great Commission, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he tells us what to do. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. We go in his name. When God saves us, extracts us from the kingdom of darkness, we are saved to obey him. Folks, that's different. That's even different in the church today, because most people in the church could care less about obeying Jesus. They want to obey with their feelings. There's very little real obedience to the Word of God. And so we twist and we turn and we do everything we can to justify our lives. Salvation is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a change-of-life card, folks. We are to tell the nations about the faith, the true faith, and tell them about the true Jesus. It's the Jesus that is represented in the Bible, not the Jesus that people make up in their minds. The called of Christ in verse 6. You believe. You're called of Christ. Believers are introduce Jesus to the nations. All people. Again, it starts. Now, it says the nations. Remember in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my representatives in Judea, Samaria, throughout the whole world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, throughout the whole world. Some people go into the world. Some people are just in their city. But it starts in your home. From your home, it goes to your workplace. From your workplace, it goes to your friends. From your friends, it goes to anybody you come in contact with in the culture around you. Folks, Jesus has left us here for a purpose. It is not to sit on our haunches. It is not to lay back. Obedience is the key. Now, I want to just take a little segue here, okay? Forced obedience versus free obedience. Consider this. God does not force us to obey Him, to believe Him, or to follow Him. We are free to do this. Are free not to do this. Now, why is this? Because God is free, and we are made in the image of God. We are free. We are free to make these decisions. Will we obey Jesus or won't we? Contrast that with forced obedience. Forced obedience reveals something. Fear of rebellion, lack of control, weakness of purpose, selfishness, no sense of godliness. Forced obedience. When I think of forced obedience, I think of communism. I think of radical Islam. I think of governmental controls that are trying to force people to do things. I think no freedom in this world system. But God is different. God gives His people free obedience. Free to obey, not forced to obey. This is huge. Believers obey out of love for Jesus. See, you can obey out of fear, and I think there is a legitimate fear of God. Remember, the number one part of that definition of the fear of God is awesome respect for God. The Hebrew word is yare. We've been through this many times. Awesome respect, it can mean tremulous fear. We need to respect God for who He is. But what really motivates humans is love. Love is greater than forced fear. 1 John 5:3 says this, "For this is love of God, love for God, that we keep His commandments." John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me." It's volitional. John 14:24, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings." Free obedience, folks, reveals love, trust, caring, a sense of godliness, brotherhood, a strength of purpose. Free to obey. You can choose to obey God every day through every situation because you have a miracle person indwelling you called the Holy Spirit of the living God, and He gives you the power to say no to your flesh and yes to your spirit. You can do this. In verse 6 and 7, you are the called of Christ. And you are called to be saints. You are called to be separated. You are called to be different. Different than this world. Different. Paul addresses his letter to the saints in Rome. By extension, every believer that's ever lived is impacted by this letter. Paul addresses his letters to us today. God wants His people to know what He expects. Saints, hagios. Separated ones, separated from Satan's control Satan's world system, and our fleshly desires. Now, saints, you're all saints. Well, most of you are saints. I don't know if you all are, but I would venture to say some. There could be some here that are not saved. Saints, think. Think about this. Our flesh desires to walk and to live in concert with Satan and this world system. That's normal. That's what the majority do. Your flesh will fight against you until you die. It's a life and death struggle. Isn't that cheery? Isn't that just wonderful? Yeah, I went to church and I talked about dying and flesh. And yeah, it's a battle to the death. Okay? So think about that. God desires his people to live for him. Whenever you have a flesh attack, now I don't know about you, but this happens to me like every day. I have to be honest. A flesh moment, think about this. You're walking in concert with your former master when you give in to that flesh attack. God's desire for his people is to be spirit-led, spirit-controlled, not flesh-controlled. There's a guy named Casey Gray. And when I saw what he wrote, I says, I'm going to share this with the church. He said this, tell me if you don't agree with this one. If there was a recording of the thoughts in my head, I'm sure I would be embarrassed to share that with anyone. Now, can anyone agree with that? I think so. Yeah, if you're honest. Then he goes on to say, why would I be embarrassed to share that? The more I study, the more I see deeper sins ingrained in me. These are sins of the heart, like pride, selfishness, apathy, envy, and others. The more I study, the easier it is for me to see these sins. But it is not becoming easier to rid me of these sins. There's a deeper issue. Now hear this. Knowing the problem is one thing. Knowing how to deal with the problem is another thing. So there's a truth statement I'm going to give you. And I think you can agree with this. The spirit-flesh battle is daily. Moment by moment. Battle. And I might say, it is a war. It is a war. You're at war with your flesh, with your old nature. The fight will be until we die. So I have a slide here. It'll come up on the screen. It's another flesh versus the spirit thing. So the flesh is, called, of course, the old way, and it's when I'm led by my desires, by my feelings, okay? The spirit is the new life that we have in Christ. I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, does God leave the saints powerless over their flesh? No, Mr. Gorham, no. Are you powerless against the outburst of the flesh? No. God has told the saints how to overcome the flesh. This is like Christianity 101. Okay, right at the rudiments, right at the bottom level of it. But so many don't get hold of it. It takes us maybe a lifetime to actually get hold of this. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, and verse 24. You've been here a million times. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Seems pretty easy, doesn't it? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now watch the cure. Verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. What does that mean? Put to death the flesh. It's got to be violent. You deal with your flesh violently. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, or let us keep in step with the Spirit. We don't run ahead of God. We don't lag behind. We just listen to the Spirit. Oh, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. And God will speak to you, and you will know the way to take. Walk, march in rank with, keep in step with. So the flesh versus the spirit. Now hear this. The one you feed is the one that will dominate in your life. Think about this. You're living in a flesh world smorgasbord. This is a banquet of flesh stuff that you can digest every day, and you get up and it's coming into your life every single day, over and over, all day long. You're getting flesh stuff. So the slide that comes up, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. Careful, folks, where you go and what you do. Our desires is to walk by the Spirit, which goes against our desires to gratify the flesh. Remember, the world system, like I just said, is a flesh feeder. It's a flesh feeder. And Satan rules this world system. The flesh always leads you away from God. We'll tell you, this is no big deal. This is fun. You owe it to yourself. When you start hearing those words, take a check. Just look around, folks. Our world reeks of Satan. It reeks of the flesh. Self-centered. Claw your way to the top. Step over whoever is in your way. The me, myself, and I world. That is where we live today. What do we see from this? Lawlessness, crime, sin, death, disease. They all reek of Satan. Just reek of Satan. Simply put, Satan is a destroyer. He wants you dead. He wants to destroy your life any way he can. He's a deceiver. He is a disillusioner. He will disillusion you. But God is a life giver. God is a hope giver. God is our champion. He's the one that we turn to. So saints, feed your spirit. This takes work. It's natural to get the world's food. Natural. It happens naturally. So you have to be disciplined to feed your spirit. It takes work to overcome the world system immersed in the flesh. So what do we need to do? Time with God is a must. It's not an elective. See, so often people use Christianity, it's elective. I'll follow some of these principles some of the time. I'll come to church sometime. It's an elective. I'll go to Bible study. It's an elective. I'll go to my home group. It's an elective. I'll go to men's group. It's an elective. Folks, we need to spend time with God and spend time with His people. Time in His Word, time with His people, time in prayer. It's all a must. Time during your day thinking about God wherever you go, it is a must. It is a must. Nothing magical here. It will take discipline to strengthen your spirit man. God has called us to be saints, to live separate from the world. I'm just going to ask a question. It's rhetorical. It's for all of us. How are we doing? How are we doing, saints? How are we doing? This is not meant to guilt you, but to think. How am I doing? Folks, there are benefits to being a saint. Verse 7 says this, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever really thought about grace, the unmerited favor of God that He lavishes upon us over and over. John 1:16, you've heard this verse before. In His fullness, we have all received grace for grace. And the illustration I've used over and over, used to have pictures of Lake Michigan and the waves lapping up. That's how we're graced by God. One grace after another. Whew. Whew. Over your life, over and over. Closing thoughts. Saints are called to be different. Now in this section, I'm going to be focusing on peace. God gives you His grace, but He also gives us His peace. Hebrews tells us that we're to live differently. Hebrews 11:13, He calls us aliens and strangers. Weird, strange. We don't fit in here. This is not our home. Hopefully you're feeling uncomfortable in this world system that we live in, that you see changing. We're not rooted here. That's why we're different. People call us weird Christians. Somebody calls you strange and weird. Remember, you celebrate that. Oh, man, I'm representing the Lord. I mean, I'm strange, I'm weird, I'm peculiar, admittedly. I want you to be peculiar. You too can be a champion weirdo. Yes, you can. Come into the family. We're different. Folks, saints are to live with the peace of God. That's different. That's different for even saints. To live with the peace of God. What does the world throw at you? Climate change. 1990, Al Gore really started pumping in this climate change thing. And Florida's going under. 5 years going. It'll be totally covered. Ice caps are melting. The whole West Coast and East Coast, oh, they're going to all drown. Well, this is 2024. And, you know, people go to Florida still. There's people right on the coast, New York and all of, give me a break. Climate change scare. Nuclear Holocaust scare. Pandemic scare. Now we have monkeypox. Anything to scare you into compliance. That's what's going on, okay? Folks, you can live with the peace of God. That's different. As the world implodes, we do not implode. That's different. Now look, you're going to have stressors in your life. You're going to have times when your world is imploding. You know, you've lived here long enough. I mean, you don't get this care and these wrinkles without knowing there's some issues that are going to go on in your life. You learn this by kindergarten. Somebody stole your rug. Well, Roger, you can't have my rug. We're going to have a tussle here. You know it right off the bat, right out of the chute. There's going to be issues and problems. Now, what do we do as believers? Matthew 11, 28 says it perfectly. Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's peace. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." What does he say? You get the personality of Jesus. "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You will find peace. Be yoked to me. You will find peace. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You turn to Jesus. God's peace, Christ's peace, is available to every saint that taps into his peace promise. You see, it's not automatic. Verse 7 again. "Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Peace. We look for it all over the world. You know, in the 60s, we were all running around, "Peace, peace." Vietnam's going crazy, "Peace." So what do people start turn to? Every monkey's uncle smoking pot. "Peace, peace." They all desire it. We all look for it. Think about this. The peace of God is possible in a tumultuous, shaky world. Saints receive peace from God. There is no peace from God until there is peace with God. Did you hear that? You will not have peace, real peace, until you have peace with God. The moment a person believes, you're at peace with God. The war is over. Now you can tap into the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's not automatic. It's available, but it's not automatic. John 16, 33, watch this. Jesus is speaking. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." That's conditional. Notice what he goes on to say. "In the world you will have tribulation." He could have said, "In me you will have peace." He didn't say that. "In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." You know the word. Philispus is the Greek word. It means the crushing, the squeezings of life. It's those anxiety-producing moments, those stress moments that just squeeze the life out of you. You will have that living here. It's just part of the program. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And by extension, so can you. Because you live with the power of God in you to enable you to live different. Peace. Something we all want, folks. Peace. Untroubled, undisturbed well-being. You know, the Hebrews would call it shalom. Shalom. Not freedom from stress. That's impossible. Or anxiety or irritation, the crushings of life. That's impossible. We all experiencing these. "Despite these things, I can live untroubled if I tap in to God's peace." People seek peace in a myriad of ways. We talked about substances and detaching into video games, social media, whatever idol you have. You know what it is. You know it in your heart, which your escape point. Anything that occupies their mind. I call this Band-Aid peace. Band-Aid. Put a little Band-Aid on it. Real peace is available to all believers who tap into the power of God's peace. Now listen to this. If you haven't heard anything else in this talk, hear this. Peace is found in the presence of God. Let me say it again. Peace is found in the presence of God. Presence of God. God and stress fits. Anxiety and irritation cannot coexist together. You cannot be in the presence of God and have stress fits in your life. They do not coexist. So what must we do? Practice the presence of God. It's a discipline. How do you do this? How do you do this? I know that's the question. Number one, meditate on His Word. And I would say this, speak the Word to your soul. Speak it out loud to your soul, to your being. Number two, sing melodiously in your troubled spirit songs of God. Christian music can go a long way. And then allow into your ear and eye gates. Take a caution. Take a break from all that stuff that's coming at you to drag you down. Allow your eye and ear gates only things that bring you closer to God. Psalm 101:3 says this, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Be careful. And then get to the point. This will take time. This isn't just, okay, I'm going to get in the presence of God now. Here I come. I just watched some horror movie, and now I'm going to get in the presence of God right now. Now, it takes time to get in the presence of God. Get to the point where God enters and all other thoughts fade. You can get there. Practice the presence of God. John 16:33 again, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus knows you. And you will go through the storms of life. John 14:27, one day before the cross. Peace I leave with you, saying to his troubled disciples, like earlier. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, not band-aid peace, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Take a hard stop. Because in the Greek, that is a command. That is not a suggestion. That is imperative in the Greek, and it's written in the present tense. That should mark our lives. That we're living in a continuum of not letting our heart be troubled and not letting our heart be afraid. You can have seasons, but I'm not going to live in it. I'm not going to live in it. And if Jesus gives a command, he gives us the ability to carry out that command. Peace stealers all around you. So I'm going to talk to just different groups of people here for just a second. Controllers. There's people that want to try to control everything in their life. Controllers. Release it to God. Perfectionist. It's in that same group. Release it to God. How about nail biters? Look around. I mean, who's biting? Nail biters. Worriers. Release it to God. And how about this? Everybody's going to fit into this one. Sick and tired of it all. Release it to God. When the storm comes, don't panic, pray. Okay, let's go through this again. When the storm comes, don't panic. Go. Well, let's do that one more time. Okay, let's with some gusto. Okay, when the storm comes, don't panic, pray. You got that right. Good job, good job. I love this picture of the lighthouse and the storm. Storms will come. Life can be scary. Folks, in the midst of it all, there is Jesus. Jesus is our peace place. Remember the Sea of Galilee? And they have the storm. And Jesus is sawing logs at the back of the boat. And the disciples are distressed and going, look, he's still sleeping. We're dying here. So they rustle him up. Jesus, we're dying. Jesus, we're dying. What did Jesus say? He said, peace be still. Boom, the storm was calmed. But also, he spoke to the storm. Who else is he speaking to? Those guys in the boat who's in a panic attack. You guys, just like this, okay? Peace be still. That's what he speaks to our hearts today. Folks, saints, we're called to be different. When you run around having fits like the rest of the world, you are not representing your God. We can live with peace, choose peace. I love this picture. You've seen this one before with a storm, and you have the little bird there. It's like God is with us, isolating us from all the storms that are around us. They're real. They're real. They're scary. They're uncomfortable, but I'm protected in the storm. I'm protected in the storm. Eric Barker is a missionary from Great Britain. He had this to say. This is a true story. So Eric Barker was a missionary from Great Britain who had spent over 50 years in Portugal preaching the gospel, often under adverse conditions. During World War II, the situation became so critical that he took the advice of friends and sent his wife and children to England for safety. His sister and her three children were also evacuated on the same ship. Barker remained behind to conclude some mission matters. That Sunday, after Barker's loved ones had left, he stood before the congregation and said, "I've just received word that all my family have arrived safely home." Ah, relief for everybody. Then he proceeded with the service as usual. Later, the full meaning of his words became known to his people. He had been handed a wire just before the meeting, informing him that a submarine had torpedoed the ship and everyone on board had drowned. Barker knew that all on board were believers, and the knowledge that his family was enjoying the bliss of heaven enabled him to live above his circumstances in spite of his overwhelming grief. Folks, we can live with peace. Jesus is our peace place. So different than the world. So different than the world. When the world sees you at peace, when you should be in tumult, you have represented Christ. People will know that you have been with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray today that if someone here does not know you as their Savior, they're still at war with the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray today they would be reconciled, brought back into right relationship with Jesus by just simply saying, "I believe in you, Jesus. I place my trust in you, Jesus. I will follow you, Jesus. Please forgive me. Please forgive me of my sins. I place all of my sins, all of my trust in you." If someone does that, they will be saved. Salvation is easy. God has done all the work. Now we live for Jesus. That's going to take discipline. That's going to take us time with our God. And I pray today that you've spoken to each heart here, and we will determine in our heart of hearts, in our soul of souls, that I will spend time with God every day. I will read his word. I will pray to him. I will be with his people when I can. And I will represent him in the world that I live in. Again, we thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, do your work in each one of our hearts. And may we be different because we've come in contact with the living God today. In Jesus' name, amen.